Hey there, it's Mackenzie, your host of Winning. We're looking for sponsors for the podcast. If you have a business that you would like to promote to thousands of people, send us an email at podcastwinning@gmail.com or send us a message on social media. I cannot wait to hear from you. Now on to the show.
Winning is your guide to making it in business. Join our award-winning host and entrepreneur, Mackenzie Killshaw, and special guests in casual conversations that will educate and inspire you on your business journey. Winning will help you learn the hard lessons the easy way with guidance from celebrated entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's fun. It's informative. It's winning.
Hello, welcome to Winning. I'm your host, Mackenzie Killshaw, and today's guest is Palma Fola. How are you?
I'm great, Mackenzie. How are you doing?
I'm so good, and I'm so happy that you're here. Palma is a friend of mine. She, I think, has the coolest career that I've ever heard of. I didn't even know it was something you could do a career of, and she makes perfumes and the most beautiful scents, and we're going to talk a lot about that today. But she was born and raised in Ireland, and she spent years wandering in her mother's and her grandmother's gardens. When she was just 17, she went to Europe exploring the streets. She happened along a florist shop, and she became a floral designer. And you actually even made arrangements for the royal family, which I think we'll touch on because that's super cool. Palma does love arranging flowers, but really it was the scent of the flowers that really she was, I think, passionate about is a good word. And she is the owner of Zingaro Floral Perfumery in Victoria, BC, which is a really cool shop. If you're in Victoria, you have to stop in. But Palma, I'm so happy you're here. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit more about yourself?
Okay, well, you kind of had it all there in a nutshell, Lindsay. My love affair with scents started from a really, really young age. My mother was very passionate about her garden and flowers, and it was like something from like the Kew Garden. It was beautiful. She threw her life's work into her garden. And then on the other hand, my Italian grandmother had a culinary garden. So I was surrounded by two very powerful protective women as a young girl, and an Italian family and an Irish family, and myself and my sister, two young girls, we were like, it was like the Gestapo on top of us. It was like we weren't allowed to move, you know. If one mother wasn't watching us, the grandmother was watching us. So I spent my days in the garden. My mother was very strict in a sense where, you know, we wouldn't be let go out after. Like, we, you know, get home, and she used to always say to myself and my sister, you know, you don't need anyone, you've got your sister. And that was the mentality growing up for the two of us. And, you know, to this day, my sister and I still say that to each other, you don't need anyone, you've got me.
Yeah.
So that's how it was. So I would just wander the garden, and I had a very wondrous, mystical mind that used to go off with the fairies, and I always got into trouble for it. But I would, like, take my mother's roses and, you know, mash the petals up and add water and powder, and I'd make all these different concoctions and put a few little bees in as well just to see if they do anything with it. And that's how it started. And my grandmother had, like, the real strong herbs, you know, for Italian cooking and that. I'd be doing stuff there. So my senses were infused from a very young age, and they were very alert. And, you know, that was really it until I hit 17. And, I was, you know, kind of very restless. I never liked school. I wasn't academic in any way. You know, if there was a window, I was out the window. If, you know, somewhere to look, I was, you know, away. I always went off into different worlds, and they were all magical worlds, and I'd get lost in them. And the minute I was 17, I hopped on a boat because I couldn't afford the train fare, and I had, I think, something like £90. And much to my mother's dismay, I left and I went to London. And I walked down this little alley in one of those beautiful back streets in London as we're all, you know, around Mayfair and that. And I walked into this, like, amazing flower store. That's what it meant. And, like, yeah, they had a sign at the window, apprentice. And I went in and I basically just, you know, I told them that I knew nothing, but I was passionate and I'll do anything. And myself and a New Zealand girl both were taken on at the same time. And I have to say, it was probably the best experience of my life, because myself and the New Zealand girl, we're still friends to this day. We were both, she was, I think, 18, I was 17. And we actually got a place to live together and started our floral design career there. And we would... they were very high-end floral designers. Like, he was a Dutch master, and we were sent around all the, they were appointed to Her Majesty the Queen. So either in London, you could see that quite a bit. If Her Majesty got the food produce from your store or whatever, you would get this emblem to say you were appointed. So it means that, so that's who she went to get her food. We were appointed as the florists. That's kind of how it goes. And you'll see beautiful places around London that would have this appointment to the Queen at the time, obviously the King now, right?
Yeah.
So we would go around after the master florists around all central London hotels and literally up after them. That's what we did. And then every day, go around all central London and fix and order the floral arrangements. You know, these were arrangements which were like 3 times my size.
Yeah.
You know, on like 10-foot ladders, you know, designing and doing whatever, right? And that's kind of where my training started. We had a master florist, her name was Val, and she was like, we used to call her the dragon. And she would literally not let us use any botanical, common name for flowers. She used to say to us, they've been given a proper name and make sure you use it. And we wouldn't be allowed to, you know, say baby's breath, right?
Yeah.
You'd have to use Drosophila or, you know, birds of paradise, Strelitzia. You know? So it was all very proper. But I have to say, I was trained so rigorously in this business that I was taken up with it. Just took over my life. And then the scent came back again. Because as I was putting all these botanicals, all these infusions were coming at me. Like, yeah. Why doesn't anything smell like this? And I'd spend my days, you know, my day off, I'd have very little, and I'd be in a bed sitting in London. I'd go around beautiful stores, you know, like Liberty, Harrods, all the designer stores in London, and, you know, dream, get lost in my new world now that I get lost in. I'd be in Dior, dreaming that I could be dressed in Dior one day. I'd be in Chanel, I'd be dreaming, you know, and I was always a way of, you know, pulling it off, because my Italian grandmother was very, she would be very about how you bought your clothes. You know, she said, it doesn't matter how much money you've got, but you have to dress well, Pam, you know, and you make sure it has to be, you know, if you buy a jacket, it has to be of couture, you know, finishes so that it will last you, and, you know, different things like that. Yep. But she trained us really, really well. And I would go and dream in all these stores and the scent and the magic. I'm a dreamer.
You still are, I think, as far as I know.
The what?
You still are a dreamer. And that's a great thing, because of what you do. I think it really lends itself well. And that's, I think, part of, like, I always say what you do is magic. And I think that's why, right?
Yeah, well, you know, it's about getting lost in it. And scent takes you to places, right?
Yes.
And, sure. and that's what it did. So then I started my journey as I was a floral designer. And then I started my journey training as a perfumer. I just fell into it. I'm like, I want to make perfume the way perfume was originally made. You know, not synthetic, not chemical, real. The dirt, the soil, flower with every composition that went with it, right? And that's what took me to grass and fence.
So you started really hands-on. You just jumped into hands-on training. Like you said, they were very proper on the proper names of flowers and whatnot. And I'm sure even I know years ago, I didn't realize that like Birds of Paradise wasn't Birds of Paradise, that it actually had a name. And that we just, that's like the common name, right?
Yeah.
So you do that, then how do you become a perfumer? Like what are, how do you go from floral to actually becoming a real perfumer?
Well, in all honesty, Mackenzie, they go hand in hand because they're just a different element of the same thing, right? It's the flowers have so many different layers. So one layer, the design and beauty, the visual, and then the other layer is close your eyes, it's essential, right? And that's so. To me, it was like second nature. I was just opening up Pandora's box a little bit more and jumping right in, you know? So it went from, you know, learning the chemical basis of it, like the, you know, the reactions, the do's, the don'ts, the, you know, the base notes, the hard notes, the top notes, and different things like that. There's a lot of challenges for a botanical, like a natural perfumer. And what that is it's a very murky world in a sense where synthetic is very linear. If it wants to take you to rose, it will take you straight to rose. Yep. Whereas botanical, it'll take you to the rose, it'll also take you to the soil, the leaf, the decomposing, the depth of the flower. It brings you to every level, right, of that. So as a nose, I'm a nose, but as, say, someone like yourself who has a passion for perfume, you've got to ask yourself, what moves you? You know, what, where do you fit in with your senses? And, you know, we're still in a world where 70% are still caught on synthetic because they don't know what it actually even smells like.
Yeah. It's crazy to me too. When I remember when I went to Paris, years ago, and smelt real perfume, because really living, I grew up in Saskatchewan, not to say there wasn't real here, but a lot of it smells, it just smells synthetic. It doesn't smell real. No. You know, you go to Shoppers Drug Mart or the Bay, that's where you're going to get your scent, and smelling real perfume. And then I do want to just kind of tell the audience about how you and I got to know each other, because you actually made for me, but it was, I guess, a collaborative effort. But I went to Palma's home and I learned so much about creating a scent, and she actually created a scent for me. And it was in kind of memory or honor of my mom. The experience was so amazing because, as you had said, it's about how it makes you feel. And I remember you giving me swatches and me smelling things and saying, oh my gosh, this reminds me of when I was a little girl and I was with my grandma and my mom. And it literally took me to that time. And then I knew, okay, I want to use this geranium. I remember was one of the scents, but I want to use this in my scent because it was my, you know, it evoked that emotion from me.
Yeah.
And that was such a great experience. And what I had my clothing store, 252 Boutique, and we sold the perfume there. And honestly, people would smell that and say, I've never smelled anything like this. And it's because you're right. It's real. It's not synthetic. And it's such a different experience. And even now, if I have a few friends that still wear the scent, I still wear the scent, of course, but I'll smell them and I'm like, I know what you're wearing, right? Because it just has that, I know what it is. And it was such a great experience for me. And it really did, you know, every time I smell that, I think of my mom. And that was the purpose of it. And it happened. So I want to thank you for that. But that's your expertise, right? That just shows that you're so good at what you do.
Well, I have to say that was a beautiful experience for me as well, because I felt I was able to bring me to that one connection through scent, right?
Yeah.
And it was a very moving experience, because if I remember right, your cousin, was it your cousin was with you as well?
My niece.
Your niece, yeah. Yes. And it was just beautiful because, you know, she was in the same predicament. It was like a connection that got, you know, together through scent. And scent does that, you know, it brings us to good and bad memories, you know. Like, it's amazing, my very first perfume was called, it was the one I did for the exams. So it was very intimate, and it was originally called The Earth of My Soul. And it literally was the earth of my soul at that time. And every ingredient evoked something. And, you know, when the whole composition was put together and the formula was done, it was like, oh God. And for years, couldn't revisit that perfume because it actually moved me too much.
Too much, yeah.
And only in the last, I would say, year, 2 years, I've started wearing it again. And it got renamed when we went commercial and that and different things like that. But definitely, it brings us to places. It moves us. It, you know, I did have some, you know, people at the store, like this one perfume in particular, and I think it's haunting. It's called Violetta, and it's based, it's a rougère, means it's a green floral, and it's just like a symphony of violets when it bursts open. But years ago, violet perfume was extremely popular in the 20s, 30s. You know, lots of women in their 60s, 70s, their mothers had worn like yard violets or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And I've had women come into the store and literally burst into tears when this violet hits them. It goes right to them, and it's like, it's just, the emotion just comes, and it's like, oh my God, it's so moving, you know? It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
It is, and it's that memory, like you say, it just takes you back in an instant, really. It just, mm-hmm. you're instantly back there. This is kind of a side note, but when we're talking about you making scents for people, you just made a scent with Pamela Anderson.
I did.
And yeah. Like I only know that because you sent me the photo, and I was like, oh boy, we have to talk about this. Because that's so cool. And if people know or don't know now that she lives on Vancouver Island, where her grandparents lived, I believe she's done a whole renovation of their property and homes. But do you want to talk about that? And I guess as a business experience, like, how did that come to be? And then also, how was the experience just creating that scent with her?
A huge thank you to our sponsor, Just For You Day Spa and Wellness. Just For You is Canada's premier day spa with 5 locations in Alberta and Saskatchewan. The award-winning luxury spa features Lea Reese cosmetics and iconic Betty jewelry that you can also purchase online. Visit www.justforyoudayspa.com to book your service or to purchase a gift card.
Well, how it came to be was Pamela adores flowers. She like loves flowers. And I was in the store one day and this beautiful woman came in, and lo and behold, it was Pamela Anderson. And she just said, "I'm in love with your store." And we just got chatting and whatever, and she, you know, would get all her, you know, her flowers for her events and different things like that. And yeah. Then we started to talk about perfume and different things like that. And then she has a show on called Pamela's Garden of Eden, and they asked would we be part of it. So they filmed in the store, you know, in the perfumery, a couple of episodes, and then we actually set up a full flower store on her property in Ladysmith for the last show, or one of the shows anyway.
Yeah.
And it was like a full-on flower store on her grandmother's property. It was beautiful. And we had great fun that day. We made like flower crowns and different things like that. But how scent got connected through scent was she loves roses, and you know, it's about getting the right rose scent. So it was well over a year working on backwards and forwards and getting it right. But we can't say too much because it hasn't been released here in Canada yet.
This is,
and
just
it's like, so we're allowed like little snippets, but until it's released, we can't say too. I don't think so. I don't think we can say too much. But yes, so it was a beautiful rose scent, very garden-like, very real, and just like her, you know. And the beauty about her is she, the femininity of that surrounds her is so beautiful. She empowers you as a woman, you know, in this day and age. You know, she's resilient. She's gone through so much.
Oh,
like, she's been through the ringer.
Everything that could happen to you that you don't want to happen to you, I feel like happened to her.
And, yeah. And you know, comes back better every time. Yeah. And she's just a beautiful being. And it was so, I was very honored to be able to sit in stillness to try and read, you know, what she was feeling, what she needed from the scent, what it was. So it was very beautiful experience to do that. But things like that don't daunt me, because it's really not about me. I'm removed totally from the equation. It's about, like, it's nature does it all. You know, I'm just the tool.
Yeah.
You know, I just move and see, you know, and you know, it was like you coming with your mother's scent. You gave me the picture. I just had to take from nature and see, you know, how we piece that picture together, you know. And it was the same for Pablo, but she, yeah, it was a lovely experience, very, very beautiful. Do, but it was exciting because, you know, I'm a city girl, and I, you know, I like a bit of hustle. I like the, you know, and Victoria is quite sedate, you know, it's a very, you know, laid back West Coast time. So it's kind of like, you know, I'm the first one up at the storekeeper ready. Come on, where is it at? So it was actually, it reminded me of Dublin again, because like in the, like our store in Dublin, we had, you know, we did a lot of people, you know, we had a lot of, I won't say famous people, but a lot of celebrities. Where the store was, we were surrounded by that. Yeah. And, you know, you take it for granted, and then you've so many years and nothing like that, and then this, and I'm like, yes, I felt embittered again.
That's awesome, though. And I mean, it's a testament to you and what you do, because clearly if she's coming to your store and repeatedly and working with you, that's you, Palma. Like, that is, it's your essence and it's your expertise that's doing that. So don't say you're just the helper there. Well, I mean, it's you, and to me, I'll always have that spot for you in my heart, because it was such an amazing experience. And that's why I go to Victoria. My husband's from there. I always try to stop in to see you, and you know, if I need to send flowers, I'm always coming to you. But it's your essence. And I think really that's part of why you have been so successful and why your business is really successful. You're the secret or magic weapon.
I'll take the weapon.
Weapon, I don't know. Ingredient? Maybe you're the ingredient. I don't know.
It's great.
Let's chat a little bit because really you are very special and talented in what you do. So how did you go from, okay, I now, because you took your training in France, right? Okay, so you're in France and obviously you live in Canada now, so that's a big change. But how did you go from being, okay, I'm going to make these beautiful scents, to actually making it a business?
Well, that's the one thing that really, when I sit and think about Zingaro, really brings me to a really beautiful place. It brings me to a place of like growth within myself. Yep. And how, you know, blessed I am, because how I ended in Saskatchewan, in Saskatoon, was we had a crash in Ireland, and our businesses went through there, so it kind of, that's how I ended up in Canada. And it gave me, I never got the chance or the reverence or the sacred space to actually sit still, because I had my two boys, I had my stepchildren, I had all of these things going on in my life, right? And when I got to Saskatoon, it actually, it's almost like I was stripped of everything, and I was raw, and I was in a country that, you know, was alien to me. A climate that was
cold.
Yeah. I'd never seen anything like it before in my life.
No.
You know, bearing in mind, you know, like we would have spent our summers in Italy and, you know, Ireland. So like this minus 50, I thought I was like Chris Bonington, you know. I thought I was like every day walking to the shops, I was going to get a medal, you know.
Yeah.
So it gave me that space. What it did was it gave me, I think, 8 years to actually sit still and create. And if I did in Dublin or any other part of the world hustling, as I told you, I like to hustle, right? Mm-hmm. It wouldn't happen. So I firmly believe I was where I was to be. I was given the grace, I was given the sacred pause to actually be still. And the other thing was, I was given that weather because it removed every essence from my being. So it was almost like I had a clean palate, because I never, you know, as a perfumer, in the winter in Saskatoon, there's no smells.
No. Zero smells.
There's zero, right? And, yeah. And you know, like a friend of mine, you know, you say, can you not smell this? I smell nothing, because it was like everything was removed. So I used to sit in my perfumery in the depth of winter and spend hours, like I, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, I would work and work and work and work, because it was like all these scents were all new to me again, because they came alive in the kind of the barrenness of Saskatoon in the winter.
Yeah.
So I was given that gift from there, being able to do that. And, you know, every time I think back, that was 8 years, and they were a quick 8 years for me, you know. It was like, and in those 8 years, like, I think there was 9 perfumes created, and they're still there today, you know.
Yep.
So it was kind of scary for me when I did move here, and, you know, different things happened and changes in my life, whatever. I didn't know whether I was actually going to be able to create another scent again. And I since that, I was able to updated. There's been two new ones. There's one being launched next month, but there was one very special one that as I was leaving Saskatoon, I was finishing it up, and I created it for my son, Christian. Before I came here to Canada, myself and Christian went to Paris, and we spent some time there just before I left, because I had to leave the boys in Dublin for 6 months and come here to set things up. So that was very painful in life to do that.
So hard.
So I took Christian with me to Paris, and we went, you know, did the Louvre, you know, all the beauty of Paris. And this day we were due to go to Notre Dame, and he didn't want to go. And I go, look, I've done your stuff. We had a fight. No, you're going. So, so we went, and the two of us were like, oh my God, it was just the most magical experience between mother and a son. It was a connection of hearts. It was the for me, what I took out of it was the scent. There's the cedar woods, the old wax, the incense, the candles, the books, all of that magic, right?
Yep.
He took the gargoyles, the crypt, the this, the that, and between the two of us, we walked out of there like hours, this magicalness. And then I left Canada. So we always had this Paris connection between us. And COVID hit, and it was his 21st birthday, and he was stuck in Dublin. But I had started working on this perfume for his birthday in 2017. And I finished it for his 21st birthday, and I was able to mail it to him. And it was called Basilica. And it was, you know, the wording, I don't have it here, but the wording on the back was, you know, the most beautiful, I suppose, poem to my son and that experience. But when you open the bottle, all it brings me back to is Notre Dame, right, that moment, him, our heart, you know, and that was beautiful.
That's so special, because you'll always have that. You mm-hmm. smell that and it takes you there.
Every time.
Yeah, I love that. What can scent do for your confidence? Because I feel like we're having all of these memory things, but as business women and business owners, I know for me, when I put that scent on, I just feel so good. But I can't be the only one. So I feel like there has to be, yeah. So let's talk about that.
Oh my God, what can scent do to us? You know what? It sends me on like a trip. It's like, scent is like a love affair with yourself again, right? And unfortunately, we've been taken down the path. We've been taken by the hand and led down the path of scent. If you wear the scent, you'll get the guy. Or, you know, your power, you're this boss lady, all of this. Right?
Yeah.
It's not what scent is about. Scent so sensual, so sexual, so powerful for the person if they've got the right scent on.
Yes.
100%. It elevates us to the next level. But if you've got something on that is not connected to you, forget about it. You might as well be wearing a shield.
Yeah.
So if you get the scent that is right for you, and you'll know, because our senses are very, very powerful. They tell us, you know, just close your eyes and just breathe it in, and our senses will go, that's the one. But it's us that challenge it. And before we know it, we walk out of the store with the wrong scent, right?
Yeah.
So what scent does for us, especially as women, is be naked. Put your scent on. And then dress, and then walk out, and then feel how you actually because what happens is that scent is the next closest to your skin. It's now your signature. It's your olfactory imprint. And when you've got an olfactory imprint, it also acts as comfort to you. It's like, I don't know every of you experienced this, but if you're wearing a scent that you're comfortable with and familiar with, in a moment of the day, just do that. And like, oh, it just regroups you.
Yeah, it does.
You know? And then when you start to have that affair with scent again, when you leave a room, or like you're going out and leave, whatever, you won't walk out the door without it.
Yeah. Well, I know for me, the scent that you made for me, that is my special scent. I don't wear it every day. I wear it on the days that are important or special, or a day maybe where I'm not feeling so great and I need to have that kind of perk me up. Honestly, I spray that scent on, I think of my mom, and it's like I'm in a whole different world.
Yeah.
It is just amazing. And I think too, when you say, you know, you spray the scent on and then you get dressed. And I love what your grandma had told you, where when you dress proper and you dress well, and imagine that scent and that, you know, outfit. Doesn't have to be expensive, we know that, but just that well-fitting suit jacket or whatever it is, what an impact you can make on the world.
Well, that's it. You know, it's like they're the finishing touches of, you know, being polished. And it's something we're forgetting in this life and world, is that, you know, those little efforts that we, like, I don't own, like, I would not be seen out on the street with leggings on. Like I was drilled into me, was that you go to the gym and you wear that. That's why it's called gym clothing.
That's right.
And I just can't. And my sister's the same. Like, we just can't. It's if I walked out like that, I'd be like, oh my God, I feel wrong.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're in a society now where everything is, you know, if you don't accept something, you're wrong with you. Well, I don't accept it. I'm sorry. You know, I am a woman and I like to dress like a woman, and that's how I feel grounded and good, you know, and everyone takes their own thing and whatever they do, that's up to them. But for me, I have to be true to myself, you know, and if I go against, you know, I go into stores sometimes and I have a hard time shopping in Canada, I'll tell you that. Yeah. See, it's hard,
well, it's
right?
Casual, right? It's casual. So much more casual here than Europe, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And I'll go into a store and I'm like, I can't do it. I can't wear that. And, you know, it's just, but that's just me. So between that and you've got your perfume and you've got all those little elements, before you know it, you've made a ritual for yourself and you haven't even, you didn't even feel it.
Yep.
You know, and it's about those little rituals that keep us on track, you know, on a daily basis, because they're the things that we you know, grow on and we make memories for people. You know, when I leave this world, I hope I leave, you know, I only have boys, so I don't know, but like my boys are very true to me. They'd be like, ma'am, we know you, like, we know the way you are, you know, but like my nieces and that, you know, and my sister would be the same. Like they know, well, you know, that's the right way to dress. It's, I'm old school. I like tradition,
yeah.
You know, I like things to be kept that way, and it makes me happy. And it, you know, in a world where things are just, you know, they're disposable, you know,
yes,
those things that have been instilled in us are the things that really, you know, hold. And then you've got your staples, your perfume, your good jacket, you're good to go. You might not have any money in your pocket, but nobody knows that.
That's right. That's right. You are such an inspiration to me. You are so resilient. I feel like you've lived many lives in this one life. Your store in Victoria is absolutely beautiful. I tell everyone to go there when they go to Victoria and go say hi from me for you. and you're so resilient. You've gone through so many life changes and where you've lived. And I mean, from Ireland to France, or to London to France, to Saskatoon, now Victoria, you are just a real inspiration to me. And I know you are to a lot of other people too. So I'm wondering, do you have something or a most important lesson you've learned along the way, or something that you think for a woman in business, that's something they should know?
Yes. I spent many, many years holding on to things with clenched fists, right?
Yep.
And what I've learned is it's okay to let things flutter. And a very wise lady said to me, you know, if you hold a bird in your hand, you hold him so tight, he'll never be able to fly. But if you hold your hand out like that, chances are he'll stay in your hand, but he might also fly. But whatever happens, it's okay, you know? And for me, I have learned that it's whatever comes is here for a reason, and it's a lesson. And some of the lessons are very, very painful, but it means there's growth. Through pain, there's always growth. And I have only seen this because I've seen pain, and then I've seen what happens after. Oh, look at that. Yes. There's actually something amazing has come out after that. So it's, you know, whenever I'm in pain, now what I say to myself is, it's okay, you're just grown. It's all right.
It's true, right? Growing pains, literally, as children, literally growing pains growing to grow. Pains.
Yes. Yeah.
I love really that. Growing pains.
So it's, you know, I hated standing still for many, many years. You know, I always had to run. And it's funny because you know what the word Zingaro means?
I do not, but you better tell us.
It's Italian for gypsy.
Okay.
And what that was, when I was younger, I was known as the runner. And not physically as the runner, but physically as the exiter. Yeah. Because my mother and father, they could never find me. I was always gone. Like, there was always something better going on down the road or over there or whatever. So it was. I was always like, the gypsy, she's like a gypsy. But she's gone again.
She's gone again, yeah.
So that's why the store is called Zingaro, right? And for me, it could be, you know, I don't know. Am I going to end up in Victoria? Who knows, you know? But that's the beauty of this life, you know?
Yeah.
It's the beauty of this life because there's so many things to see and do. And I'm tied to nothing because when you tie yourself to something, then you're squashing the beauty out of it. Whereas if you keep your hands and your palms open, the beauty is allowed to grow also. And before you know it, you're growing, you're evolving with that beauty. And you never know where you're going to be. Like I blow my kids' minds as well. They're going, she's at it again. I'm going, it's okay. You know, I love freedom.
Well, that's a part of you. And I know that. And I love how you're the little gypsy that we run. Okay, so how about if you had to tell your 17-year-old self when you landed in off that ship in London, or maybe something you wish you had known? Is there something you would say?
I don't think I'd change a thing because you know what? Everything that happened has been the making of me and the beautiful people around me. And honestly, there's certain parts of life that I'm like, oh, I wish that happened. But you know what? It had to have happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
So honestly, I don't think I'd change a thing.
I love that.
And I tell my 17-year-old self, keep going.
Keep going.
You've got this.
Honestly, it's true. You do have this for sure. Where can people find you? I know you've got a great Instagram, but where's the best place? I know people are going to want to know more and check you out. So where should they go?
Well, we've got good news. We're opening a second store in Victoria now as well. Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yes. It's going to be two locations.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So one is on Humboldt, which is just right by the Empress. So the beautiful Empress Hotel. And then our other one is on Johnson Street. So myself and my husband are busy getting these going. And yeah.
Well, congratulations. So
find us either there.
Congratulations. I will be sure to stop in when I'm in Victoria next so that I can see you and see the new space. Thank you so much for being on. I'm going to go put some of my perfume on so that I can feel a little closer to you right now. To everybody listening, thank you so much. We'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to Winning. Be sure to subscribe to get all of our new episodes. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others. Post about it on social media and leave a rating and review wherever you listen to Winning. To catch all of the latest from us, you can follow Winning Podcast on Instagram at winning_podcast, Facebook at Winning Podcast, and on Twitter at Winning Pod. Winning was created and is produced by me, Mackenzie Kilshaw. Music created by Summer Furby. Editing by Seth Armstrong. Special thanks to Shauna Foster for voicing our opening. And of course, a huge thank you to this episode's guest. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode.